This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the Personal Ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.ordinariate.org. The following sermon was preached on Sunday, August 16, 2020. The 10th Sunday after Trinity, by Father William Doc Holliday.
Cast your burdens on the Lord, and He will sustain you. May the words of my mouth, the meditation of all of our hearts, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. The psalm that opens this liturgy, Psalm 55, is a psalm of prayer, a how-to psalm of prayer. All the psalms are prayers, but this psalm specifically teaches us some things about prayer, a methodology, so to speak. We hear that word so many times throughout the liturgy. Let us pray. Lord, hear our prayer. Think about how many times you think we're Catholics, we're praying folks. I pray the rosary. I pray this. That's one of those words that we need to be very careful about, because to use the word pray is like to use the word grace and mercy. We hear it so often, but really don't think of, we know what praying is, but we don't understand the nuances that are associated with it. And when I say nuances, I don't mean something that is ancillary. I mean something that is of absolute necessity. Because I think we hear some things like grace and mercy, we start to presume on God's grace and on His mercy. Because you hear so much about it, just inconceivable that He couldn't be grace and mercy. Because that's all I ever hear about Him, that He's gracious and merciful. I just presume and take it for granted that He's going to be gracious and merciful to me, you know, barring anything that I do or don't do. Prayer is the same thing. We presume on it. We think, God hears everybody's prayer. No, He doesn't. No, He doesn't. And even those prayers He hears, sometimes He hears because of the source. He hears more readily. At other times, maybe not so much. This psalm opens the liturgy today. The first prayer. The first prayer is about prayer. Lord, to make us pray right, make us pray the things that please You. Not what we want, not to make us happy, but the things that please Him. The first reading. My house is a house of prayer. Explicit reference. The gospel today. The gospel, the word prayer is not in the gospel. The gospel is a manifestation of how Jesus Christ wants us to pray, and kind of drives home some of the points that I'm making. That just because we're praying does not in any way, shape, or form should make us think that He's going to answer us, particularly the way we want to be answered, or when we want it to be answered, or how we want it to be answered. And we got to start foundationally, as this psalm does. The foundation, the first two verses of Psalm 55, the first two verses, four times in two verses, the Hebrew word to hear is used. The psalm that you read in English translation, hear me, be attentive to me, and everything, the Hebrew word is to hear. Four times. It would be like, hear me, Lord, hear me, Lord, hear me, Lord, hear me, Lord. Four times? Is that really necessary? Yeah, obviously, because the Holy Spirit tells us that. We want God to make sure we are calling on Him, that we need Him to hear us. The gospel is a picture of this. This woman, she won't stop. Jesus is just absolutely ignoring her, doesn't say a word. She's being so bothersome that the apostle, could you send her away? She keeps crying after us. And our Lord doesn't look at her and say, I'm here for the lost sheep. She's a Canaanite. She's not of the people of God. Okay? And she keeps it up. And she keeps it up. God, hear me. This is what she wants. She wants something. She wants something. She keeps telling the Lord what she wants. He knows she is in anguish. This is something that we have to pattern our prayer life after. Not just the method, the way she does it, but the way she is answered or not answered. It teaches us volumes about when we pray about things. Sometimes he is going to ignore you. And guess what? After he ignores you for a while and you keep praying and keep praying, something might happen to make it look like what you've been praying for is even farther out of your reach. Looks like God stiff-armed you, sort of like this woman. Lord, help me. Heal my daughter. Lord, help me. It's not good to take the bread from the children and cast it to dogs. How charitable is that, Jesus? Jesus is a sinless one. He's listening to her. That he wants her to know how much she wants him. She wants her, he wants her to prove to him how bad she wants it and what she wants. And through what she goes through, we learn something about our prayers. We cannot be presumptuous on God granting our prayers. We should not take him hearing us for granted. We don't deserve to be heard. Okay? We got to demonstrate that humility before God. We got to start our prayers out like that to let him understand that we know that we don't deserve to be heard by him. That's what this woman does. Our Lord says something. If I said something like that to somebody, what you said in a Bible study, if you weren't in there, can you imagine what would happen if I called somebody a dog in this place when they asked me for some help? Phone lines in Houston would be abuzz within a very short period of time. Okay, and I'd probably be on a flight down there tomorrow. Give an answer for why I call somebody at all. But our Lord does it. Okay? And what is her response? How dare you call me a dog? I have my rights. I'm a child of God. He calls her a dog. And what is her response? Lord, even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. She admitted she humbled herself. And then our Lord said, woman, great is thy faith. And not some ambiguous ethereal faith, some subjective thing, faith in him. I know he will help me if I bother him enough. This should set the stage for the way we pray. This is where we got to start thinking about how we're praying. The foundation, the source of the prayer, us. There are degrees of prayer. And like I said, we hear about praying all that. If I said, give me the 4 degrees of prayer, I would hazard a guess I wouldn't see a whole lot of hands flying up right now if I said, give me the 4 degrees of prayer. You find them in the Roman Catechism. 4 degrees of prayer, the prayers of the just. That's a person who is baptized in a state of grace with the Lord, going to confession, receiving the Eucharist. These things make us just, not because we are innately just, but because through the sacraments we are made just. Through his grace, we are made just. Those prayers are heard. Those are the best ones. The source of that prayer is tremendous, if it's presented in the right way. Again, the source is fine. The second is the prayer of sinners. Okay? We're all sinners. Yes, even just people are sinners. But every now and then, just people find themselves in sin when it might be bad enough to have hindered or even separated us from the grace of Christ. If we are overwhelmed in guilt and contrition for that sin, and we go to the confessional. Before we get into the confessional, he will hear your prayer. He will hear your prayer of sorrow. He will hear your prayer of contrition. Before you get to the confessional, he will hear it because of the contrition of your heart. I need to get the confessional to make everything right. This is what the second degree of prayer is. He hears the prayers of sinners. That's his business. Okay? So there's a difference between the just and sinners. The third, unbelievers. He hears the prayers of unbelievers. Okay? I have been exposed in many conversations with people who have been in the past or are still atheists, self-proclaimed atheists, agnostics. I'm always asking, if you're real, let me know. That is rudimentary at best, but that's a prayer. What is prayer? Talking to God. Prove to me. And you know what? Like I said, some of them presently are in that state. Some of them are in the past, because you know what he did? He proved to them in some way, shape, or form that he was there, and he went, and they embraced him for it. He answered their prayers. He will even answer the prayers of unbelievers. The fourth degree, he will not answer the prayers of the impenitent. You can dot all your I's and cross all your T's in show, like run into the confessional. Oh my gosh, I did this again. I'm going to run to the confessional for fire insurance. Okay? With no, absolutely no intent to amend your life. You know that you're going to go that day or a couple days later, you're going to do the same thing willingly, with malice aforethought. He will not hear your prayers. Where are you getting that stuff? Just because it says in catechism, it says it in scripture. Several places. Probably the most pointed, though, is 2 Maccabees, chapter 9. 2 Maccabees, chapter 9. The antagonist in Maccabees is King Antiochus. A tremendous rogue. Okay? Kills, tortures men, women, children, desecrates the temple, hates God, thinks he's the center of the universe, King Antiochus. Well, God gets tired of his acts, and he strikes him with a disease where his body is basically consumed, basically rotting as he lives. He smells so bad, the scriptures say, that even his bootlicking consorts won't go near him. It's that bad. You know, when that's the kind of thing going on with you, you're in horrible pain and everything, King Antiochus starts to pray. You know what the scripture says? Then this wicked man prayed to the Lord, of whom he was not like to receive mercy. Because why? Because he didn't care about all the stuff he did. He just wanted to get removed from the condition in which he found himself. He was not penitent over what he had done. He did not care that he had desecrated the temple. He just didn't want to be dying, particularly like that. And the Lord, it says, will not like to receive, he will not like to give him mercy. This is why we know things about it. God does not hear the prayers of the impenitent. So we need to get ourselves right. Most of us haven't done all those things King Antiochus did. But there are people that I come into contact with quite frequently. They are impenitent. It is obvious they are impenitent. And I pray for them, and I try to do the best I can, but I know that God's not hearing their prayers. I don't know why this is still going on, because he's not hearing your prayers, because you keep doing this. The impenitent sinner will not have their prayers heard. Most people are here having their prayer. They're in the first three degrees of people who pray. But I mean, we always, even if you're just, you've got to understand that there are prayers that are better than others. You know, there are deficiencies in prayers, distractions. You know, everybody's throwing that one out. You know, I've been distracted in mass. Welcome to the club. Me too. And I celebrate. Okay? That's part of our human nature. But we have to discipline ourselves and fix that. If we're distracted, our prayers are deficient. Okay? I didn't say they weren't being heard. They're just deficient. And we can fix it to make them a little bit better. Inattention. When the prayers are going on in here, oh yeah, this one again, I've been thinking about sunnies, you know, that's an inattentive prayer. And, you know, everybody else might be believing, but I can think of sunnies and he'll hear my prayer. No, you're part of this group. The inattention, prayers without devotion, just the opposite of this woman. She was so completely devoted to our Lord Jesus Christ. She didn't care what he said to her. She just knew that he could do what she wanted. And she was going to keep bothering him until he did it. And he looked at her and said, oh, woman, great is thy faith. And he gave her exactly what she wanted it. So the better you pray, the better off the answer from God is going to be. This is what we have to understand about prayer. We got to be honest with ourselves when it comes to prayer. Never hesitate to ask God about that and not think that, oh, it's impious for me to say this. Or what do I hear? Why? I know it's wrong to ask God why. It makes my head hurt when people say that. What did Jesus Christ on the cross? What do you say? My God, why have you forsaken me? It was okay for Jesus to ask God why. is good for us to ask God why. As long as we ask it not importunately or incredulously, you know, just keep harping on why this, why that, why that. But if we really truly mean, I really want an answer, why is this like this? I mean, that's what the psalmist is doing. Even the church is trying to color things up that, you know, some things don't apply anymore. Prime example, Psalm 143. Use that one a lot. It's a penitential psalm, so I use it a lot in the confessional. Psalm 143. And what do I always emphasize in Psalm 143? That last verse, good Lord, deliver us from our enemies. Our enemies, the world, the flesh, and the devil, those temptations that brought us in there in the first place. The temptation we fell in to be, they be manifest themselves in our life as sin. Okay? That's the 12th verse of Psalm 143. If you look at a post-conciliar prayer book, it's got 11 verses. They take that one out. No, we take that out because Catholics don't have enemies. You better have enemies. You better have enemies. It's called the world, pagans. They hated him first, they're going to hate you. He says that. They better dislike you. And if you go out of your way to try to make them like you, you're a man pleaser. Read Galatians chapter 1. If you're a man pleaser, you don't please God. He wants you to please him. All right, so we got to be honest when we pray. We do have enemies. Okay, we have people that hurt us in this world. The psalm actually speaks of friends who betray you. See that, and you know, some of the marriage stuff I have to deal with. Till death do us part, to love, honor, and everything. And what do I get? He left. She left. Betrayal. You know, in the first conversation, you'll never read the gospel about Judas' betrayal the same way, because now you can look Jesus Christ dead in the face and say, I know how you feel. Somebody I loved betrayed me. Okay? What do we do with that? You cast that burden on the Lord. It does not mean in any way, shape, or form you forget about it or you don't have to deal with it or any of that stuff. He will help you bear that burden. The burden's not going away. He helps you bear it. He will sustain you, as the psalm says. And we got to be honest with him and how we feel about things. The psalmist is, my heart is in anguish within me. The terrors of death have fallen upon me. Fear and trembling come upon me, and horror overwhelms me. Horror overwhelms me. Tell God you're scared to death. You know, a parent that hears a bad diagnosis for one of their children, terror overwhelms me. This is, I can't deal with this. Cast your burdens upon the Lord and he will sustain you. Does not say it won't go away. He will sustain you. We have to be honest with him in the way we feel. He wants us to be honest. That woman that followed him, she was honest. Honest about her own condition before him. Honest in what she wanted. Honest in how bad she wanted it. When we do that, you know, that's what he wants to hear from us. You know, like I said earlier, the presumption of prayer to go before the Lord of glory and treat him as if he owes you something, he shouldn't even be listening to us. That's all there is to it. Well, I was baptized. He should listen to me. I was confirmed. Yeah, and we continue to spit in his face every time we sin in thought, word, or deed. We know what he expects of us, and we still don't do it. But he still hears our prayer. This is his grace and mercy. All this stuff, I've pointed out some pretty hard examples of prayer. I point out quite frequently, we pray harder, much more frequently, much more enthusiastically when we've got something bad going on. We can't help it. That's how we're wired. And he will use that to draw us closer to him. He will do that to prove us in this world. God strengthens and proves us through the tribulations of this world. That's all there is to it. I mean, that's like 101 Christian stuff. Genesis chapter 22, Abraham. There's no question that Abraham was faithful. God tells him, hey, leave your land, leave your home, leave your family. Go wandering about the desert for decades, okay? And I'm going to give you a child someday. And in faith, Abraham does all these things for God. There is no question in God's mind or anybody's that Abraham's a faithful individual. But then when God does give him a son in his old age, he lets the son grow up. He goes, hey, you know what, Abraham? I want you to sacrifice your only son Isaac, whom you love. I want you to do that for me. He puts something else on him. And you know what Abraham does? He goes to do it. And God stops him. That right after he stops it, now I know that you fear God. But didn't you know before? Yes, but I wanted to know better. That's how God works. Why for one moment we think, I don't deserve this, God. Take this away from me. I say rosaries and I go to mass and I got. If he tested his only begotten son the way he did and expected obedience, Jesus Christ didn't get exalted to the right hand of God. He's not exalted in heaven because he came and died for you. He's exalted in heaven because of his obedience. Philippians chapter 2, he humbled himself, becoming obedient unto the death, even the death of the cross, for which cause God also hath exalted him. God exalts us when we prove ourselves. And that is when we ask for things and we don't get it. We don't get it, and the more we pray, the farther it gets from it. And you know what? You might never get it. All right? That's all there is to it. God might keep it from you and his mercy, because he doesn't look at what you want to make you happy. He looks at what he wants to get you into heaven. This is how our prayers work, and we have to understand that. So when you're praying, you know, when we're praying, we're doing exactly what the psalmist said. We are casting our burdens upon the Lord. And again, it doesn't say that memories or events and situations or conditions will go away. He says he will sustain you through them. This is what we have to appreciate and understand. Not getting the answers we want. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost.